I have heard people who run organizations that get no grant money at all say, I don't want to be beholden to the government, get a grant, and then a year later the money dries up and I'm left holding the bag. Now, these are usually people who have not been very successful at fundraising of any kind, let alone grants. It's just a great excuse to not do your job. It is a myth that grant funding will get you hooked on the government's tit, and you can't get yourself off of it. Another myth is that government grants is a waste of taxpayer money that keeps private people from supporting charity and keeps us as taxpayers on the hook for everything. They move us towards a socialist state. Others, on the other side of the aisle, might argue that they actually leverage a great deal of private sector funding and decrease government funding. So what is true when it comes to government support of the social sector? Well, today, we're going to find out from our guest, researcher, Dr. Juan Liu. Welcome to 501c3BS, Deprogramming for Organizational Growth. I'm your host, Zoot Velasco.
We just need one big fundraiser.
Our clients are our donors.
Bigger is better.
Who cares what the mission statement is?
I work in nonprofits.
Bullshit! Dr. Juan Liu received his PhD in policy studies from the University of Maryland, and he has been honored by the Network of Schools for Public Policy Affairs Administration, that's the NASPAA, as an emerging scholar. That's a lot of initials there, Dr. Liu. He is an assistant professor in the School of Public Affairs and Administration at Rutgers University in Newark. Prior to joining Rutgers, he taught at Mississippi State University. Dr. Liu's research focuses on government nonprofit nexus in service delivery. His work has been published in many journals. I won't name them all. His research article published in the March 16th Journal of the Nonprofit Management and Leadership Journal was titled The Philanthropic Consequences of Government Grants to Nonprofit Organizations, and it asked the question, do government grants displace or leverage private donations to nonprofit organizations? And that's exactly what we want to know on this podcast today. I read your abstract, and I'll quote from it. It says, although research on this topic is flourishing, the findings remain extremely contradictory, creating difficulty in delivering a cumulative knowledge available to scholars and practitioners. And then you employed a meta-analysis to systematically synthesize the competing findings from the existing literature, using the sample of 60 original studies with 637 effect sizes, this study finds government grants have almost no correlation with private donations. Can you elaborate on that a little bit more? What exactly do you mean by that?
So let me start with a very brief background about this research topic, government funding, or more specifically, government grants to nonprofit organizations will help nonprofit organizations to attract more private donations from society at large, or it will just discourage private donors to give to that nonprofit organization. So this topic has a very long intellectual history over 30 or 40 years. And I think starting from 1980s, there are scholars looking at this problem, mostly from an economic background, and they argue, say, government grants, government funding to nonprofits will discourage private donations. And since then, this research has been conducted by many, many scholars over 30 years. And the findings are very controversial and competing. A large body of studies showing that government grants to nonprofits will discourage private donations. And there's also a large body of literature showing that government funding to nonprofits could actually help nonprofits to leverage private donations. And this debate has been on and on. And what we really wanted to do in this particular study is we wanted to aggregate or evaluate the studies which have been conducted over this 30 or 40 years to see what will be the net effect of the government grants on private donations. Then we find that there's actually a very, very small association between government grants and private donations. And that relationship is positive, which means that the more a nonprofit has government funding, the more they're likely to have higher level of private donations. But the other finding is, although there is a positive association between these two streams of revenue sources, the magnitude of this relationship is actually very, very small, which means it's very, very close to zero. So putting these two findings together, we are thinking that even though there might be a positive relationship between government grants to nonprofits and private donations to that nonprofit, the impact of this relationship is very, very small, almost zero. So that is basically what we find here.
So let me ask you a question then. So you looked at 60 different studies, and you did find there is a correlation, but the effect is so small as to be almost negligible.
Yeah.
So my question to you is, did you look at, or were the studies done based on different sizes of organizations? Because my theory in terms of 501c3 organizations is that, you know, if you look at the amount of funding that goes to 501c3 organizations nationwide, 80% of the funding goes to 20% of the organizations, and most of those are organizations over $1 million. So, you know, the large majority of funding is going to a very small percentage of organizations, and that means that a large percentage of organizations are not doing very well in our sector. But there is this group of organizations that are moving from smaller to larger, and I've been the CEO of several of them that went from, you know, under $500,000 to over $1.5 million, or, you know, over $1 million organizations. And when you see an organization that's moving like that because of leadership, it's usually because they're putting themselves into a place to get funding where they weren't before. And the government grants can often be a kind of a stamp of approval for other funders to say, yeah, we should invest in this organization as well. They're doing well. Has there been any kind of a study done on those kinds of emerging organizations?
I'm not sure about the particular studies there, but there is a body of literature showing that government funding can actually play a kind of more endorsement role or signal role to telling the potential donors or to support the credibility and the quality of the organizations that are supported by government funding. So with that kind of signal or stamp effect, that private donors are more likely to donate.
Yes, yes. So, you know, because I think somebody could just look at the abstract of your article and draw some wrong conclusions, right? I mean, people could look at that and say, well, you see, we shouldn't invest in government grants because, they don't mean anything. We could just not have government grants at all, and the funding would come from the private sector. So that would be I would assume you would agree that's not necessarily the best way to characterize your studies.
Yeah, I have two responses to that kind of argument. First thing is, there's a long-standing concern that government funding would crowd out or discourage private donations. And so our study will find it is not necessarily the case, because we find a positive relationship between these two funding sources. So actually, from what we find, so government funding would not crowd out private donations. So for nonprofit leaders, they do not need to consider the potential trade-off between these two streams of resources, which means they can go and pursue both resources. So which does not mean government funding is harmful to their resource development. And the other response, I would think that it is very hard for most nonprofits to say to totally get rid of government funding. If we look at the entire nonprofit sector, mostly 501c3 organizations, the government funding represents on average 1/3 of their total revenue income. And if we go deeper into different subsectors like human service, healthcare, or more broadly defined social services, the percentage of government funding is even higher. I know for many human service organizations, government funding represents about 50% or even higher of their total revenue. So I think the question is not whether we need to go for government funding or not, but the more important the question will be, how can we strategically manage government funding and to reach an optimal level of revenue mix?
So that's your point, is that people shouldn't just focus on government funding. They should be looking at a balanced way of funding their organizations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Related to that, that means how to strategically manage their dependence on government funding. Because as I have said, it is almost impossible to for most nonprofits to totally get rid of government funding. So to some extent, they have to rely on government funding to some degrees. Then the question is, how can you strategically manage that kind of dependence?
Now, I think that changes a lot depending on the type of organization. So, you know, I ran, for many years, I ran arts organizations, and many of them were public-private partnerships where a government agency, either a city or a county, had a museum or a cultural center or a cultural park, and they wanted to get it off their books, so to speak, because it was an expensive thing to run. So whenever there's lean times, they think about getting rid of it, and they couldn't just get rid of it without people being up in arms. So they partner it out to a nonprofit, and for a much smaller fee, they can contribute to it without having to run it, and they can leverage a lot of private donations that way. So in my case, we had a center that at one point was 25% city funding, and it was, you know, they were giving us about $150,000 a year, whereas when they were running it, it was costing them $500,000 a year. And by the time that I left, their portion had shrunk to less than 8% of the funding. So that was a case where a lot of money was leveraged in private donations from the government. But if you have something like a social service organization, like a battered woman's shelter, say, or a homeless shelter, they're going to rely more heavily on government donations because basically they're doing something that the government should be doing, and they're doing it for them.
Yeah, I totally agree. So the importance of government funding varies across different subsectors or kind of field of activities. In arts, cultural organizations, government funding might play a less important role, but in social service, human services, government funding would play a very significant role. But sector-wise, I would still think government funding would be one important, if not the most important, funding source for nonprofits, especially the 501c3 organizations.
So your focus of your article wasn't to say that we should get rid of government funding or that government funding is not important, just that it should be balanced with private funding.
Yeah.
And do you feel that government funding is important for leveraging private funding? Because I know a lot of private funders that are more likely to give because it's a matching grant from a government grant.
Yeah. Matching, the kind of matching requirement is one potential reason why government funding can motivate nonprofits to leverage more private donations, because they have to raise money from private sources to meet the sort of kind of matching requirement. So that's one potential reason why government funding can kind of sort of crowd in private donations.
Well, because when I first read your article, I thought you were saying, and honestly, I couldn't download the whole article without having to pay for it, and I'm too cheap for that. So I read the abstract, and I kind of thought that, you know, it was saying that we didn't really need government funding, or that government funding wasn't important because, you know, private funding would happen anyway. And in some cases, maybe it would, or some cases there might be more private funding if the government funding was not there because people think it's important. But I got to say that I think it's a myth to think that government funding isn't very important to kind of jumpstart private funding.
I would argue the other way. So government funding is important. And although we show the relationship, the positive relationship between government funding and private donations is pretty small, but it is still a positive relationship, right? It is not negative.
Right.
And so the overarching kind of finding is it's a positive relationship, which means government funding has a positive, even though it's not big, impact on private donations.
Couldn't you just take those same findings to make the case that this is one part of American life that is working very well, that government funding is spurring private funding in equal amounts? You know, that would seem to be a very balanced way of funding things, right? As opposed to like in Europe, where many things are funded by the government and people are not necessarily going to step up with as much private funding because they're paying more in taxes, so they feel like they're contributing through the government.
So I think one finding we can argue from based on this particular study is that people, private, especially private donors, will still find government funding somewhat favorable when they are making donations to nonprofit organizations.
Right.
They would not think the other way, like government funding, since a nonprofit has been funded by government, they would be less likely to donate. They will still consider government funding a bit favorable.
Right. It gives it a stamp of approval, like we were saying earlier. So it makes them want to fund more. So, I mean, if you were at a party and someone who is maybe a very conservative libertarian gets into a conversation with you at a party and finds out what you do for a living and says, well, you know, I always thought that there's no reason for government grants. You know, it's just a waste of money. Why couldn't we just, you know, why does the government need to fund art programs? Why does it need to fund these things? Private people would step up if there was no government funding. We should just get rid of those government grants. What would your response be?
Okay, let's go back to the traditional economy argument that there will be $1 for $1 replacement between government funding and private donations. But most studies do not find that kind of $1 for $1 replacement. Even there's a group of studies showing there is a negative relationship between government funding and private donations. They just find a very small crowding in effect, which means even though there is some kind of crowding out effect, the crowding effect is also very small. Definitely way smaller than $1 for $1 replacement. So, which means even nonprofits. So, if one nonprofit receives one more dollar from government, they would receive maybe just say 10 cents less from private donors. That's smaller than $1.
So your point is that if the government funding was not there, you believe that the studies that you've viewed would show that there'd be a decrease in philanthropic donations if there wasn't that government funding there to kind of give that stamp of approval for them to want to invest in it, saying, oh, well, the government's invested in it. That means it's important. I should invest in it as well. So something started happening here in the United States in the 1990s that kind of, I think, came out of Reagan era thinking. This idea of privatization, where a lot of government entities wanted to privatize things that they thought were not non-essential functions, like parks and different things like that, and try to use grants to kind of partner those things out to nonprofits in the community. And as I said, I was part of several of those public-private partnerships. Now, in those situations, I would think that there is a lot more private donation because that's kind of the whole purpose, is to spur private donation by partnering it out to a nonprofit organization.
Yes. If we look at the kind of the policy or policy change in 1980s, 1990s, there was a kind of significant movement of the devolution and the privatization. Sort of a devolution can push kind of the service delivery function from the federal to local, to state to local, and the privatization actually push the kind of service delivery function from government to non-governmental actors. Which means for nonprofits, there are kind of two implications. One is there will be higher service demand on the nonprofit side to kind of address the gap left by government provision. The other implication is sort of when Within devolution and privatization, nonprofits can become more and more dependent on government funding in the service delivery process, because there's a huge amount of, there's a kind of high level of demand at the government side to seek nonprofit community organizations to deliver various kinds of services on behalf of government.
You know, I think that there's a real, I would love to see the research on that, because I think half of the people in our sector think that this is a terrible idea, and the other half think it's a great idea of privatization. I think some people, you know, find it to be very effective, and other people find it to be kind of the government relinquishing their responsibilities. And it doesn't always work. I mean, if the government privatizes something with a nonprofit, and they do it in a haphazard way without much thought or planning, it usually will not succeed for a long time. But if they do it with a lot of thought and planning and a real partnership attitude, it can be very effective. So I think it would be interesting to see, you know, to see what the studies are on privatization.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of studies there on privatization or contract out or outsourcing. But my way of thinking that is, I think privatization or the decision to contract out service delivery is usually driven by a variety of factors: political factors, pragmatic factors, organizational factors, fiscal factors, and this can be long and long. But from an outcome perspective, I think the question is not whether we should privatize a particular service or not. I think the question is whether we can effectively manage that process. I think there is no clear answer to date showing privatization is always better or worse than the sort of in-house service delivery.
I would say that if the privatization is done in a real partnership way, where things are planned out, I think it's almost always better. But I think most of the time it's done because of fiscal needs, where the government agency is in trouble, and they just want to get rid of it quickly, and those are not usually handled very well.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I cannot agree more. That there's always a misconception there that people think that once we privatize things out to a non-governmental actors, that it will be everything will be there, and they only will need to wait until the results come out, but it will never be that way. And even if you decide to privatize things, you still need to manage.
Well, the reasoning. Go ahead.
Although the kind of the managed privatizing process and the managed government bureaucracy or in-service delivery process will be very different.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the problem, is how it's all about the impetus for doing it, really. But I think, you know, the reason I wanted to talk to you about all of this is because this is a show where we take on the myths of the nonprofit sector, the myths of organizations, and kind of debunk them. And I think, you know, because I have been working in an area of California, which is a very liberal democratic state, but I work in a very conservative area, Orange County. I often hear people on both sides. You know, on the right, they'll say, you know, government funding is a waste of money, and these, you know, kinds of things like arts and social services, that should be done by charitable organizations, and we should just save our taxes and shrink government down to nothing, you know. And then people on the left will say, well, you know, we shouldn't privatize anything. Everything should be done with government funding. And I think they're both wrong. You know, I think certain privatization can be done really well and can be a really great partnership. And why shouldn't people be able to take their own dollars and leverage tax money and lower the tax burden? And on the other side, I think government grants is a really great way of lowering tax burden, because it is leveraged with private funds. So, you know, people who think we should get rid of government grants, I think if they want to lower taxes, government grants can often be a great way of getting things done, because otherwise the government would have to shoulder the whole burden themselves to do things like, say, get a vaccine for a disease or take care of an arts center or take care of an elderly center or whatever, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree. So nothing will work for all seasons, right? So actually, we really need to bring evidence to the kind of policy discussion, and to use evidence to inform the real policy making process. And we can never argue, say, privatization or in-house delivery is always better than the others. So
yeah, I think it has to be a mix, and I think that's what you prove then, if I'm hearing you right from your research, is that things are best when there is a mix of both private and public funding.
Yeah.
Now, do you think that's true also for research, for people like yourself who are doing research on things that are important to us for the future, that there should always be a mix of public and private funding, or is that harder to find private funding for?
Yeah, I would think there should be a kind of mix between these two funding sources.
So for smaller organizations or individuals like yourself, a researcher that's trying to get funding for your research, it could be a full-time job looking for funding. But that's okay. It should be, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. But the challenge
It shouldn't be easy.
Yeah, it should be easy, and it will never be easy. And I think the real challenge here, and also the same thing especially for small-size nonprofits, is whether we really have the capacity to manage a variety of funding sources at the same time, or whether we need to specify or specialize one or two major funding sources rather than diversify across a variety of funding sources. That could be a real challenge. I think literally we all say that we should not put all the eggs in one basket, right? We should diversify across a variety of possibilities, options. Then the real question was, do we really have the capacity to do that?
But isn't it the same thing that people have to do in for-profit businesses, if they're in small businesses, or that single investors have to do? If you want to invest in one thing and it's a cash cow for you, that's great. But once that one thing ends, you're going to be stuck, right? You have to always have your eggs in multiple baskets, no matter what business you're in.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is that if we look at small nonprofits, I think with kind of there should be a balance between diversification and concentration, right? Yeah, so you can never rely on one potential source, but you can also cannot rely on, say, 100 potential sources, right?
Yeah, and I know a lot of organizations that I work with as a consultant that are reliant on one big government grant that is sustaining them because they're doing some kind of very important social service on behalf of the government. But if that grant ever were to go away, they would have to immediately close down because they have no other source. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I think in the kind of research community, there has been a debate on whether nonprofits should concentrate or diversify their funding sources. So, and today, there's still no clear answer to that question. So we are still working on, we're also working on a project on that topic as well. So basically, what we find is that there should be balance.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's kind of Darwin's law of survival of the fittest, right?
Especially diversity, for more or medium-sized nonprofits, and
I mean, the more diversity you have in funding, the more you evolve to meet the needs too, right? Because if you're getting a diversity of funding, it's probably because you're meeting a lot of community needs, right?
Yeah, and also you have to manage the relationship between different founders, right? Donors,
right.
Corporate foundations, and government founders, sort of thing. That takes time, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's all about relationships.
Yeah.
Well, good. So I think, you know, we had several different myths kind of going on here. That there's the myth of government grants is a waste of money. We have shown, or you have shown through your research and through others, your colleagues' research, that government grants is important because it's leveraged with private donations almost dollar for dollar, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they will not crowd out government. They will not crowd out private donations, and they might bring in a bit more private donations, which means government funding has sort of positive impact on charitable philanthropy.
And then the other thing is that organizations have to not be reliant on one particular funding source. They really need to diversify their funding sources if they're going to survive.
Yes, to some extent. So they should not fully rely on one source. They need to diversify a bit across several, maybe two or three major funding sources. But they, on the other side, they should not diversify too much across too many funding sources.
Because what's the danger of that?
If you manage two sources, you have, for most nonprofits, they don't have the capacity to manage that.
Right. So yeah, it would have to depend on their size. So if you're not too big, then you shouldn't be managing too many relationships, is what you're saying. It becomes impossible to manage.
Because for most nonprofits, more medium size, they don't have resources, capacity, or energy to manage multiple complicated relationships with different potential donors. And the question is, if you cannot effectively manage relationship with donors, how can you manage those kind of funding sources that will last for a long time?
Well, that kind of gets to another myth that we think of a lot in this sector, is there are people, and there are a lot of people, I think, who have this idea that a bigger nonprofit organization is a better nonprofit organization. And there are a lot of funders who would like to give their money to larger organizations because they feel it's more secure, it's less risky. But there's a bell curve with that, right? Because if the organization's too big, then maybe too much money is going to television ads and marketing and not to the actual mission of the organization. I mean, I would make the case that a smaller, nimble organization that's emerging is probably more mission-focused than maybe a really large organization that's more focused on how they can manage all their assets.
Mm-hmm. That could be an interesting argument. And I have no evidence to support that, but that may be an interesting topic to look in the future. Say, what kind of the optimal size to work, optimal size of nonprofit to work with?
Yeah, I mean, I know that I know that from research that there is a cutoff at the $1 million mark, that there are exactly 20% of organizations that are getting 80% of the dollars, and that exactly 20% of the organizations are over $1 million, which means that 80% of all 501c3 organizations are under $1 million. And that's a lot. You know, that tells me that 80% of them are failing. 80% of them are not quite succeeding yet. But there are organizations that are moving from under $1 million to over $1 million every year. And I would think that those organizations are the ones that are doing things right and are really mission focused and have good leadership. And those are the ones that are really worthy of investing. And those organizations that are 10, 20, $30 million, that if you look at their 990 tax forms, maybe 20 to 30% of their budget goes to advertising, you know, goes to marketing, because they get that big because they've managed to figure out how to promote themselves. And that might not be as mission-focused as a smaller, more nimble organization.
Yeah. We also have some evidence showing that government funding can actually increase the percentage of organizational expense on their programs, which means with government funding, nonprofits are more likely to focus on their core mission, which we assume is providing a variety of program services.
So you're saying that organizations that get a lot of government grants, they have to have a much bigger back office to accommodate all the reporting.
Mm-hmm.
And that causes them a bigger administrative infrastructure.
That's another question we are looking at now, but we have not figured out the answer there. That is, whether government funding would increase or decrease nonprofits' administrative or management expense. Theoretically, or kind of a widespread conception, is that government funding would make nonprofits more like quasi government agencies, to make them behave very inefficiently. But we do not have too much evidence at this moment to support this kind of argument.
Well, I would think that my experience with government grants is that they make you have to plan your programs out better, which is not a bad thing, because you have to plan it in a way that will get you the grant. And then you have to execute it in a way that will allow you to write the report to get you more government grants. So, I think it makes you more accountable. I don't think it makes you more bureaucratic necessarily. I think just getting government grants on their own doesn't give you the same bureaucracy. I think maybe to some degree in terms of that you have to think about your insurance and you have to think about, you know, not taking big risks. In that sense, you're maybe more a little bit more bureaucratic than you would if you didn't have the government grants. But I don't think any of those are a bad thing necessarily.
Actually, we actually have a working paper on that topic. And our basic finding is that, very similar to what you have said, is that government funding would not necessarily be bad or good in terms of its impact on administrative cost of the nonprofits. And we basically find that if government funding represents lower than 1/3 of nonprofit revenue, the government funding would make nonprofits more kind of bureaucratic. And once government funding represents more than 2/3 of nonprofit revenue, government funding would actually make nonprofits more efficient.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think where
the accountability control associated with government funding.
I think the bureaucracies come in when you get to a size where you need to have a department within a department within a department. You know, when you become a $30, $40 million organization and you have to have, you know, 10 people that work within some micro department within a department, you know, that do one small thing because it has to be done. That's when you get into bureaucracies, is just from the size, sheer size of it. And again, I think that makes a case for smaller organizations being nimbler and more mission focused. I think for myself, like I also give money to organizations because, you know, I make a point to give 10% of my income back away to the community. So when I'm doing that, I like to pick organizations that are in that emerging range that I know are really mission focused.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people think, oh, unless you're UNICEF or the Red Cross or one of these giant organizations, that you're not going to be a good bet for my money, you know. But I think those giant organizations, you know, they do great work, important work, but I think the percentage spent on mission is actually smaller.
Mm-hmm. That'd be an interesting argument. Yeah.
Well, good. Maybe I gave you a topic for new research.
A lot of new topics here.
Well, good. It's been a really pleasure to have this intellectual argument discussion with you, because I wasn't sure where you were going with that article and what the point was. So I'm really glad I got to discuss it with you and see that we're actually pretty aligned in what we think. And I'm glad to know that a lot of the things that I've theorized are kind of bear out through the evidence.
Sure. And I can share with you my full paper, and now you do not need to buy it.
Oh, good. I would love that.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure. And I might reserve the right to call you back with questions for some future episode.
Sure. I'll be happy to do that. Thanks so much, Zod.
Thank you, Dr. Liu, and good luck with your research. Thank you for joining me at 501c3BS, Deprogramming for Organizational Growth. I'm your host, Zoot Velasco. If you would like to let me know what your 501c3BS is, you can contact me through my website, zootvelasco.com or 501c3BS.org. I would love to get your suggestions for future episodes. What is your 501c3BS? You might even be my guest. Thank you for listening to 501c3BS, Deprogramming for Organizational Growth. I'm your host, Zu Velasco. 501c3BS is sponsored by the Gianeschi Center for Nonprofit Research at California State University Fullerton and the Mihalo School of Business. Join us at the Summer School for Nonprofits for one amazing week every August. Gianeschi is spelled Gianneschi. That's Gianneschi, Gianeschi Center for Nonprofit Research at California State University Fullerton and the Mihalo School of Business. Check out my Twitter feed at 501c3bs, my webpage at zootvelasco.com, and my book, The First 100 Days, on Amazon. The music is provided to us from our good friends at the traditional Brazilian choro group, Grupo Falso Baiano, and Amy Molinelli. Find them at grupofalsobaiano.com. Thank you for listening. Have a great day free from BS.